Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Just Get Started podcast. I'm your host, Brian Andreyko, and thanks again for being a part of this journey. On today's episode, I welcome in Jay Malone, who is the creator behind Passive Profits, which teaches service businesses how to automate their audience and income growth. Jay's mission is to help 1 million founders leverage no-code digital products to create growth loops that unlock new passive income streams. As they do, they win back their time and freedom while building profitable businesses they're proud of. So I hope you all enjoy this conversation with Jay. And without further ado, please welcome in Jay Malone. Jay, welcome. Good to have you in the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to chat with you. I know we connected here recently, and your journey is interesting just because of it. It seems like you've had a ton of growth, both, you know, with business, but also it seems like mentally, emotionally over the last, you know, dozen years. So I can relate to that. And I thought it'd be a fun place to start. We're just going to go deep down the rabbit hole. I want to read something and then I want to get your thoughts. I want to go into it. Okay. You don't know what I'm going to read here. So I don't know what you're thinking on that end. In 2017, I was 7 years into operating a 35-person digital agency called New Haircut. We had been squeaking by in razor-thin margins since day one. Never more than 90 days out from having to close our doors. Maybe I picked the wrong business, but I kept at it tirelessly. Mostly, I sat stuck in the hamster wheel of sell, fulfill, repeat. No time for anything else. Family, fun, nothing. My sleep was in the toilet. I barely saw my kids. This was not the vision I had when deciding to go into business for myself. New Haircut had become a shitty, self-imposed job. I was making a quarter of my peers in corporate America with triple the stress. At the end of 2015, approaching full-on burnout, my 24/7 work routine landed me a divorce.
Living the dream, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, the reason I wanted to start with this, I was just, this book I'm writing, I was writing this part on like looking back 10 years, like these 10 year, like thinking in decades, right? And when we think of back, like if we, you and I went back 10 years, right? That's 2014. Like where our lives were at that time and like what we would have thought, like would we ever be thinking we're on this podcast here 10 years later, right? So when I read that, there's a couple angles I want to go. First is, how did you think about, I guess, your business back 10 years ago? Like you mentioned, obviously, 2017, obviously, there were some issues there. But like when you started it off, was it in a similar position? And you just said, I got to keep going with it? Or did something happen that really spiraled it out of control? I'm just kind of curious if you start there and then we'll go down a few different rabbit holes.
Yeah. I started with a lot more positivity and energy. I had gone through two jobs that I was let go of. I can blame the housing crisis of letting go of my last full-time job in 2008 off Wall Street. But the truth is I was ready. I had become a tough person to employ because I just had a lot of ideas about how I wanted to operate, how I wanted to build teams, the kind of culture I wanted to be a part of, what I wanted to create. I didn't mind creating other people's dreams up until then, but when acknowledgement of your work starts to fade, it gets harder to justify that you're putting in all that effort to not get that kind of like emotional response that you're looking for. That kind of, you know, I didn't need to be patted on the back every day, but a little bit of license to be creative and to like take ideas and run with them. Wall Street is a tough place to be creative and innovative. Working for traders, not for the faint of heart. Trying to solve new and complex problems in different ways, not always seen with like open arms. So starting a business right after getting let go of that second job in a row was definitely a much better alternative than dusting off the resume and starting all over again. Mm-hmm. And both my parents were business owners. My grandfather was a business owner. So it just felt like in the cards for me to sort of dive headfirst into that. But the blessing and the curse of being spontaneous is that I didn't really have a big master plan. My plan was, work for yourself. Mm-hmm. And through, you know, a set of circumstances, I found myself in an opportunity to start a business in a field that I knew but a decent amount. So my criteria was, I know about this industry, technology, and I've made money here. So there's money to be made. What I didn't ask myself is this the work that you actually want to be doing, or just the stuff that you know how to do? And you know, there's evidence that people in technology make money. So that third leg of the stool was an important one that I didn't see until, man, like a decade later.
Yeah. And did you just feel like, because the sunk cost fallacy is something, you know, that you're in it. So you're like, I can't stop this now. Like, I have to keep going. This is my baby. Like, we'll eventually get there. Did you keep having that kind of recurring nightmare of like, well, I got to keep this going because I have nothing else to do?
Yeah. Oh, and everything and everyone around you will validate that bias that you build up. You start hiring people. Okay, now I have more people who depend on me. I was kind of like the face of the company, the person out there building relationships and selling. So more people of, you know, mouths to feed, clients saying yes to, you know, like hiring us and doing business. But you know, it was the same cycle that I was chasing over and over again. It was like, at some point, the clients will be right, the work will be right, the fulfillment will be right, and this will become the business that I always wanted it to be. But the foundation was not right. My friend Mona said for her, it felt like being on a leaky ship and plugging holes that she never wanted to be on in the first place. Mm. I described it as a self-designed prison, which is a little bit more strong. But yeah, it's the business that you built. So, you know, your friends are telling you like, oh my God, you know, you went into business. That's amazing. Can I have a job? I want to go into business. I hate my job. And I'm like, well, you know, just because you're a business owner and entrepreneur doesn't mean you're fulfilled and happy with what you're doing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like ego that goes into it, and it just keeps melting. And then the longer you go, of course, the harder it gets to say like, this isn't right.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important too, like sharing. And this is what I love about like LinkedIn or Twitter, spending time on, is like folks like yourself sharing these stories. Like, I share a lot of personal stuff because I think you have to show that it's not all glamorous. Like, there's a lot of grind in there. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of great moments too, of doing things that you love to do. But I think folks sometimes see, because I have some friends that, you know, they're running their own businesses, and I talk to them intimately about some of the struggles, but I don't think most people see that. They just see like, oh, they're running their own business, good for them. But yes, but there's a lot of hiccups that they deal with, a lot of, you know, sleepless nights, which I'm sure you went through as well, you know?
Yeah. And it's hard, you know, like, new customers or prospective customers would reach out and be like, how many people are you? You know, who's doing all your content? Who's doing your sales? How do you do this? And I'm like, me. They're like, no, but like, who's doing this part and that part and the other part? And I'm like, no, it's me. They're like, oh my God, I thought you had like a 50 person marketing team, and I thought this and I assumed that, and I, you know, win, win, win. And then you get inside and you're like, no, it's messy in here.
Yeah,
it's a shit show, honestly. And I'm like you. I actually do better leaning into that and sharing it. I shared like a really vulnerable story in May after coming out of a trip from Costa Rica. And I didn't know the kind of response, but like strangers calling me, just saying thank you and changed my life. And like, I can't believe you shared this on social media and how public it was. I was like, man, I did it for myself. Cause like the more I just let stuff air out there, I don't know, a weight just is definitely removed. I mean, there's nothing new in being cathartic of just kind of like sharing what's going on in your world.
Oh my gosh. It's like, I tell people like the blog, and I do 3 times a week, my blog, I've been doing it for a few years, and I'm like, that's my therapy. Like, that's just, I just share it out in public because it's, you know, I just enjoy doing that. Because again, it goes back to the, hey, can I help one person, or can I help a few people that you know, they get this and it makes them change their thinking. That's all you're trying to do, right? Because we all go through a lot of shit. I think a lot of people are unwilling though to share that online, but they are going through stuff. So I think if you can kind of just lead just from the front a little bit, it's helpful. I wanted to ask you, the reason I brought that up initially, because I know one of the challenges most people have is change. They have this identity and they stick with it. And they're just going to see it through until the end. But you made a change. You decided to make a change. So how did the change come about? How did you decide to change turn the Titanic, you know, in another direction, I guess?
Change by 1,000 cuts, that kind of things. I fought it for, like everybody else, I fought it for a really long time. A personal divorce, a business divorce, clients even telling me, like, why didn't you go with us? And a lot of them couldn't articulate it. And then afterward, they told me, like, when I announced that I was kind of like putting my consulting business in the background and starting my new business, they're like, you know, I knew you weren't 100% into it. And I was like, at least you knew, because I was tricking myself for a long time. But I just, you know, I kept chasing it until 2023 I started. And because of all the tech layoffs, a lot of my consulting business clients are Ford and Home Depot and MailChimp, and they were just slashing people left and right. So I was, as an outside consultant, my work was some of the first to get chopped. So that was just sucked out of the air for me. Mm-hmm. So I was left, you know, like now I'm chasing work that I don't want to be doing. And that's when like this wave of burnout just hit me. I hustled on it for Q1 and Q2 of last year. And when I was getting no response to the work, to ultimately work that I could fulfill that would just make me miserable, I was like, okay, something's got to give here. It's either going to be like me personally, and I'm going to like really do some damage, or it's just time to make a switch. I think the damaging advice, like the blind advice that gurus and people that have made it, is like too many people give up when they're at like the 99th percentile and they're like steps away and they throw in the towel right before. And that's definitely true for many folks. But if you don't love the work that you're doing, if you're not passionate about the problems you're solving, you'll be stuck at that 11th chapter or 11th hour for forever, because the part in you is missing. It doesn't matter. There's not additional hustle that you can do to fill that hole.
Right. And only you can know that. Only you can know that, because I think it goes back to what you said earlier about like the question that you should have asked yourself, is this the work that I want to do? And I think we get stuck in, you know, like I'm curious, maybe from your position, I know for me, like the longest time, like if we talk 5-7 years ago, it was like, oh, I want to like develop this big software company and all this stuff. And now I'm like, I don't want employees. Like, I don't want a whole, you know, like my perspective's changed. But I think because that was the glitz and glamour, you know, of entrepreneurship back, you know, 5-10 years ago. And I was like, I got sucked into that. But it goes back to your question. The more I ask myself, is this the work I want to do? And that never added up, right? So I'm curious, I guess, what your new endeavor here, you asked yourself that question, I'm assuming, and did what you're doing now pop up right away? Or did, how was that ideation phase, I guess, deciding like, this is the route you want to go?
Yeah. You know, I read hundreds of books, spirituality, personal development. That's like, those litter my Audible library. The theory always made sense. Looking at the ikigais, right? Like aligning to find like what you're passionate about, what the world needs, all that made sense. Like there's even frameworks to make it simple. And I think what was missing for me was the permission to do something that I'd never done before. You know, because the voice that's challenging that is, who are you to write a book? Who are you to start a business on this topic? Like, where's the proof that you've done anything like that? But everyone that's 10 miles down the road was in the same position 10 miles ago until they like took that first step to start writing the book, to start solving those problems. So for me, when I when I started this company called Passive Profits, it was really just out of, I looked at all the work that I've been doing in my own business for the last 10 years, or at that point, 14 years. And there was this little piece in there where, like you, I never really wanted to build this big, massive company and be responsible for hundreds of employees. I'm much more of like a deep thinker, go into a cave and build stuff for a long right. time. But there was this one little aspect where I was able to take what I had learned about, you know, certain skills and frameworks and methods that I had built up over the years and turn them into like, just here's what I know about it. I packaged it all up for you. Go and do it yourself. Use the tools, use everything that I've learned over the last 10 years plus, and here it is. Go have fun with it. And the idea that I could create something that was a package of experience that I had really amassed over a career's worth, that could help solve important problems for the person buying it, that people were buying it, and that I enjoyed the entire process of creating it. I did it for a few years and it still wasn't registering. And then like my business had a downfall, other certain things took all of these signals. So it wasn't this like lightning strike that, aha, this is the thing that I'm passionate about. Like people, you know, have the advice of like, do what you're passionate about, but took me 14 years, took me like that opportunity of packaging my stuff was right under my nose the whole time. And not until, to be honest with you, I was sitting in an Alex Hormozi book launch event.
Oh, I did that too. Dude. Is that massive event? Oh my God. How many people?
Yeah. Like September or something like that. And yeah. I'm sitting in there and he's talking about, he just said, I've been listening to him for a while and he said a few things and I was there to help a friend of mine build his business. And that was the lightning strike. I was like, wait a minute. I have all these things that I created and I loved how I created them. And now I'm just sitting on them. I'm not doing anything with them. This feels like a business that I could begin. It feels like it feels like an ikigai. I can't remember what the ikigais for Venn circles are, like what you're passionate about, what the world needs, what you're capable of doing. There's a fourth one in there, but it just checked every box. And that was the lightning strike. But the lightning strike took 14 years to actually like get through my skull and make me take action on it.
Yeah. It's you said a word earlier, which I want to kind of noodle into is permission. Cause I'm assuming that's what it was. It was you, for some reason you didn't give yourself permission to go down this path earlier because again, and a lot of times I'm wondering as you think back of like, you mentioned like the identity, you were this business, you had these employees, like you were known for this. If you take a sidestep down another alleyway, what would people think? Like did that external validation, or I guess lack thereof, however I want to take it, but was that a big part of it, you think, as well?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, like platforms like LinkedIn and Twitter will reinforce that what you're drilling into, which is like, we want you to talk about this thing. This is the thing that people come here for, to listen for you. And people have told me, like, I've been following your work for years. You talk about product discovery and design sprints and innovation. And now I'm over here talking about, you know, packaging, productizing your services into no-code digital products. And the platforms didn't like that switch. And so like all of my fears came true as I started to like change the topic that I was talking about. And all of my, you know, 10,000 people on LinkedIn are used to me talking about these things and I'm talking about another thing. People weren't following the work. People were, you know, like unfollowing me. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my God, like this paranoia sits in. You're like, I better go back to doing what I've always done. And that fear loop is what keeps you from ever taking those first few steps. But now I'm 3 months into it and the algorithm is enjoying my new content and people are reaching out and saying like, oh my God, you know, like I've moved over from what you were doing to what you're doing now. And it's a really interesting topic. I'm going to keep following you. So it's those fear loops that keep you kind of just like frozen.
Well, and you know, like the people, because there are these followers and stuff, like how many were engaging as it was, right? How many were even, you know what I'm saying? Like, were they following you because, yeah, from so many years ago, they're not your best, they're not your client anymore anyway. So they're going to move away either way. And it's like, that's where I think this whole thing of like leaning into, this is what I want to do, this is what I personally want to do, the right people will come into my sphere eventually. And kind of understanding that there's a longer runway. I think this is why, and I'm curious your thoughts. I had a note here. I wanted to talk about like why so many people get stuck right at the beginning, because they are worried about, oh my God, people might not like this. But when you look at anything you like now, like if you talk about Hormozy or these people, they no one knew who they were 5-10 years ago. But they took their time. They slowly built an audience. They built a platform. They built things that they're used to talking about. And then all of a sudden, now you think they're like, oh, they've been doing this all along, but not necessarily. I think Hormozy, I mean, he's been talking about gym stuff and, yeah, he's talking about business stuff, but he was more on the gym guy. Now he's really promoted more entrepreneurship, you know, over the last few years. Right. So people change. Things change. You adjust.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I came up with this quote or it was from a book that I read a long time ago or some combination of the two. But it goes, you don't become confident enough to act. You become confident by acting. And I can't tell you, like now I'm like, you know, I'm in these communities that are for creators, part of the creator economy. That's just kind of like the tribe that I've gotten pulled into. And I can't tell you how many first time people that just lost their job or people that have been wanting to start their own business, me 14 years ago, you however long ago, and they're looking at it through the lens. It's so clear to me seeing like where I am now, but they're looking at it through the lens of, first, I need to build an audience, to build a really strong point of view, like to have my spiky point of view, as Wes Cal puts it, to build my 10,000 hours of mastery. And I'm like, yeah, yes. And the first place to do that is to just start creating and start talking about the topic that you want to get familiar with. Because I heard you talking about this on a previous show, that shitty first draft, and actually probably 1,000 shitty first drafts, is all the gory work that Alex and Justin Welsh and all these other people that we follow, that's all the stuff that they were talking about that we don't even care to look up because they don't really actively promote it because it was their messy middle. It was like their start when they didn't really have that perspective. They didn't have the really fine line. They didn't have like a big massive following, but it took all that work under the covers for us to actually discover them. And now they're these geniuses and influencers, but just like us, there was a long time where they were building up, they were giving value to people, they were hustling, they were figuring out what their perspective was.
Yeah. Well, and we all, I mean, because I speak about this openly, like, you know, I still have a full-time software sales job. It's not going to be my everything. Like, just get started is kind of my mission. I'm going to do the next 50 years. But the reason I talk openly about that is like, it's how do you change, like, I'm able to do this podcast, I'm able to write books, I'm able to do all these things because of just prioritization. And that's where I think, and maybe with your stuff comes in, is like, people may not leave their full-time job. Maybe someday they want to build a bigger business, but they have to start somewhere. So take an expertise they have, take something, whether it's digital courses or whatever. Like, you don't have to like quit your job tomorrow. You can slowly build on the side. And by the way, I'm curious your thoughts too. I don't even think it's like business stuff. Like, if you want to start a damn garden, like just do something to start living a more fulfilling life and stop living this kind of old life where you feel you can't do anything. I'm curious how, when you're working with folks with your kind of the passive profits, like how often does that come up about them just thinking, oh, well, I have this full-time job. I don't really have the time. Cause that's the big thing. I don't have the time to dedicate to something new. Well, you have to make time, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing. You have to make time for something that you care about. That's a long way down the road. What are your thoughts on that?
So it depends on what the person's doing. So if you're in a job and you are passionate about the work that you're doing and you just want to like go out and try to do something related to that on your own, still a lot of those people get stuck up in thinking, yeah, I don't have something that I could bring to the world that others would find interesting. Like they feel like they're missing that certain perspective or experience or like accreditation almost. And they're like, I wouldn't know how to like bring it out into the world. And what I tell them is the thing that you have as an employee that I wish I had right now is all the work that you're doing day in and day out. That is your content. You have experiences, you have challenges, you have things that other people are struggling with. And those conversations are fuel for like what you could turn into an online course. You could talk about your experience. For me, I like as a just a creator that's building a newsletter and a business and courses around it, I have to create the content to spark those conversations. So there's always content somewhere that you mm-hmm. could draw from, experience somewhere that you could draw from. And I think, you know, when you're inside that frame, you don't understand the perspective yourself. You don't know what you have access to, which is why some people start podcasts, because those relationships and those conversations give them ideas for content that mm-hmm. they could create. Like I know you just launched a course. I'm sure how many episodes have you done here? Like a few hundred, right?
Over 400. Yeah. Yeah. I think you'll be like 409 or something like that. Something like that. It'll land. Yeah.
I'm sure a few of those conversations spark part of what you turned into, like your content, your course, what you talk about. There's always something that I think like there's always an experience that you're having that other people would be interested to hear how you navigated, how you overcame those challenges, you know, like what it looks like today, how you turned it into a template. And you're right. It doesn't have to be a business. It could be just like learning about gardening or how you groom your dog. Like there are so many, if you have a topic that you're interested in, chances are there's a whole community of people that are interested in hearing how you use that skill set. So, yeah.
How is the,
I think, I like the, thing I think I'll say on it is what I do hear people struggling with is they go right to making money. So they go like, okay, I'm interested in gardening. How am I going to make money with that? And I'm like, well, you know, okay, if you're really interested in gardening and you were to write a magazine called Better Homes and Gardens eventually, like that is an empire. And it just, I don't know the entire story behind it, but I'm assuming it started by their interest in like learning how to garden and how to, you know, design beautiful homes. But it started with like a problem that person, those editors were interested in solving. Mm-hmm. The money will come. Which is why, back to your original point, keeping your job while you're figuring this out, it's a great platform to have.
And it's just, so like, what's the first, so I like how you said that. Cause yeah, we always go to like making money instead of like, okay, do something that really energizes you. Cause remember, there's a portion of people that hate their jobs that are listening to this and they don't want to do what they're doing. They're trying to get out of that. They want to do something different. So it's an opportunity to fill your, like, it's almost like if you get sucked your energy during your day job, well, what could fill that energy back up, that bucket of energy, maybe a couple hours at night or a few hours a week. So if someone's like listening in, they're like, you know what, Jay, you're right, man, I'm going to do this. What is the first step you would encourage them to like get their idea from their head and take some action on it? Is there something you'd encourage them to read, listen, write, all the above?
I mean, a friend of mine who coached me through some tough times, he used to have me audit my days, which it's not like some novel new hack. But I think like when I look at 14 years of running a consulting business, I didn't like sales. I didn't like writing web copy. I didn't like fulfilling the workshops that I was selling. There were like many more parts of my job as a business owner, which is crazy to imagine. But even as a business owner, there were many parts of my job that I really didn't enjoy doing. But that part about packaging what I did in workshops and making it available as a toolkit and an online course, there's probably something in there that you do during your day in and day out that you do enjoy doing. There's got to be like one task during the day that you mm-hmm. enjoy doing. Doesn't mean that you have to do it in your industry for your boss or for your clients or whomever else. But if there's something in there, that's a thread that you should probably pull on, because say you like setting up the conference room before like your team meetings. I don't know, maybe there's something in there about like event organizing that you enjoy doing. Well, it turns out that you could probably start a group. I don't know if meetup is even still a thing, but like you probably start a group and start to like organize small little sessions together. There's probably something that you're doing. And if it's not in your job, then like when you leave your job and you go home, what's, you know, like, what are the things that interest you? Do you enjoy journaling? Like in the spring and summer, I'm constantly outside, like tending to my lawn and all things. Like if I wasn't doing this, I'd probably be a landscaper.
Yeah.
And I'm not a landscaper because I've convinced myself that I won't be able to make enough money. So I'm still doing it. Like I would love to, for a living, design people's outside landscapes, but I'm like, can I start that at 47 years old? Like that doesn't feel like something I should do. Like it scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in it. And I spend countless hours outside where the time just kind of like melts by. So maybe that's another criteria. Like, what do you do where the time just kind of slips on by and you're like, wow, that was 2 hours. Where did the time go? That was really interesting what I was just doing.
I like that. Yeah. And one of the other ones too, that I just remembered was like, what do your friends, I think maybe Tim Ferriss said this or something, like what do your friends ask you advice on? Or what do your friends ask you like an expertise on, I think is another helpful, again, but all this too, to your point, is you have to sit down and actually be willing to like think on it and not push it to the side. Like, ah, I'll do it tomorrow, the next day. Like, yes, I like the whole point about like auditing the days because yeah, what are you doing throughout the day? And are you sitting and thinking, God, I really enjoy this thing. Why can I do something around that? I think that's such a powerful thing for us to do because we do get so sucked in the fucking shitstorm of like day in and day out life, man. And I think that's where people get stuck. So what, from the core standpoint, I guess, you know, where you talk a lot about, is there anything else? Like, does it matter like product wise what they do? It's more just, they're actually doing something. Like that's the first step. Just do something, take some action.
Yeah. Yeah. So one habit that is, you know what it is too, like, you and I are sitting up here talking about these really nice, ideal things that you should do. You should audit your day. You should journal at night. You should practice your gratitude stuff, right? Like, and 90% of it won't work for you. But then there's one habit that you do over and over again that like feels, okay, I can stick with this. Like for me, if you've ever heard of like morning journaling, where you just kind of like write freehand and you don't self edit, it doesn't work for me. I like edit and edit and edit. And I know I'm just supposed to be getting ideas out of my head, but at night for me to write down three things, which is just like one or two things I'm grateful for, as many things as I can think of that I'm proud of for accomplishing, and two or three things that I want to do tomorrow, that allows me to like unload for the night. My subconscious probably gets to work on it while I'm sleeping. And it just gives me just enough reference to go into the next day with like a bit of a guide. That habit is helpful because I've read so many books on like mindset and discipline and, you know, like propelling yourself to take action on things. And there's a million different forms that you could take to do that. Meditation, exercise, like working out. I know you like to work out, but like many of them that work for me and you won't work for the person listening. So you just gotta like disregard all the advice, find like a habit that allows you to like actually catalog and just spend more time doing the stuff that you actually enjoy doing. Don't worry about making money from it today. You don't have to become, doesn't have to start making six figures tomorrow. But just like allow yourself the space to actually do that kind of work. And then in terms of like the form that it can take, if you enjoy writing, maybe your product, like if we're talking about like productizing a skill set that you have that you could turn into a course or a podcast, like if you enjoy one-on-one conversations, a podcast could be a great place to start. Mm-hmm. You know, there are different ways to monetize all of these things, so you can get to monetization. If you enjoy writing, I enjoy writing, so I chose a newsletter as like the engine for passive profits. That's where I do all of my thinking. That's where all of my courses and other things come from. If you like being on camera, you know, like starting a YouTube, a vlog, doing shorts, things of that nature. There's a medium for just about anybody, as long as you're willing to let go of the idea that you aren't, you can't create. I'm not creative. I don't know how to create. Yeah. You know, as long as you let go of that, that mindset, you'll probably find a format that'll work for you.
Yeah. And you said something earlier too, and Meetup is still a thing. I have the app. I've signed up for some stuff, but I actually haven't gone to any meetups locally. But the reason I bring that back up, because to your point as well, also being around, I know this, like back, call it like 5, 6, even 7 years ago, like when I started this podcast and after I got divorced and my life was changing in a different direction, hanging around more people that were entrepreneurial or focused, kind of hanging around people that were more fitness oriented, like I wanted to be, like people that I saw myself, my new identity I want to be, I hung around them and that changed my mindset perspective. So that's, I think something else too, if you're in the same group of people that maybe they're always negative or they're only talking about certain things and you want to be something different, go do that. Find those people. Mm-hmm. They're all around our areas. Like they exist. You just have to maybe, you know, look behind a few curtains and, you know, see their, that they exist. So I think that's important too, you know?
Yeah. And you know, like I'll say this, depending on the day and the crowd and what I'm doing, I can either be on stage or I can be very sort of like introverted and reserved. So if you're on the latter side and being around a group of people like at a gym or wherever feels like that's going to take a lot of energy from you. When I knew that Passive Profits was going to kind of like be built on a newsletter, I just started consuming like Matt McGarry and Shinobu Basilo. Like they just have great podcasts and great content, and listening. If you find a creator who loves to tell stories, especially if they reverse engineer stories of other people that are doing what you are trying to do, that for me has been such a great source of inspiration. Like I feel like I'm sitting with Matt, I'm sitting with Chanel, and I'm like learning and building with them because they share so much. And then I've also joined a couple like more like virtual communities. It's like on Discord. So, you know, you don't feel the need to stand up and perform and do those sorts of things. There's a community for you. It's somewhere out there. You just have to do a little bit of digging. Mm.
Well, and yeah, you're right about that. You also said something before we were talking about kind of the shitty first draft, you know, and like, I think one of the things too, and this is sometimes gets lost. Someone listens to you or sees you like, yeah, he's starting to pass at profits and what have you. If we don't know what would have happened if you didn't have those 14 years of running this business, going through all the turmoil, divorce, like all these things, all of those little micro events led you maybe to that idea popped in your head. And then you said, hey, this is interesting. I want to take it. So that goes back to start today, try something, and then give it some sort of consistency because you never know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know what the hell this podcast is going to be. And I hope I'm still doing it in 5 or 10 years, but like, who knows? Right. Same with Passive Profits. You don't know where it's going to be in a few years, but if you just said, God, you know what? I'm just going to do a couple newsletters, then quit. You never can see it through. If you enjoy doing it, just keep doing it. Even if it's at such a small scale, I think that's the big thing we're getting across here. Right. You don't have to be this grand, massive thing. So,
yeah. If the core is right, if the core hits for you and it's a problem that you actually do want to solve and you have passion to do it, and you could see yourself still talking about this topic for at least a year to see it through, that's the lens. Like just hustling endlessly in a domain that you don't want to be, that like you dread, that's like, again, that, no matter how much hustle, I think, like, you know, the quote, things aren't happening to you, they're happening for you. Mm-hmm. It reminds me, like, I keep seeing all these people getting laid off, and I can't tell you how many times I'm so tempted to tell them, like, I know that this seems like a shitty thing that's happening to you, but I promise you, I got fired twice. I promise you there is an opportunity in here if you're willing to look for it. And I know you can't say that because some of them just got let go. They don't want to hear any about silver linings. They're telling you to shut the hell up. But there's never been anything that's happened. Like in the course of a year, I got divorced, my house burnt down. I lost like half access to my kids, like all sorts of shit happened, but I became a better dad. I got a brand new house. Like I found a new partner who like all these things happen. But if all I did was stay focused on all the shit that was happening to me, and people will, they'll stay stuck on this is happening to me for decades. Maybe I'm like, maybe my superpower is the ability to just like let go of shit and just kind of like trudge on. But I don't know, that's also a practice that you have to build. You have to get used to kind of like weathering the storm and pushing through it.
Well, I think, yeah, you're right. The positive mindset, I mean, as hokey as that sounds, you can hear like, oh, be positive, whatever. It is true. Like the things we focus on, we see. And I noticed, so did you listen to, if you didn't, I'd recommend Tony Robbins was on. I don't know if you listen to Theo Von. He's an interesting comedian. No. Theo Von's funny. He's a comedian, but he has a podcast called This Past Weekend. But anyways, he had Tony Robbins was like, you know, he's pushing his new book. And so he was on a lot of these podcasts. Anyways, the reason I'm saying this, he did this exercise with Theo on the podcast about, he's like, look around the room. He's like, now tell me everything that's, look at everything that's brown. He's like, you got it? He's like, okay, close your eyes. And he's like, all right. And he's like, okay, tell me something that's red. And Theo's like, of course, opens eyes. Like, he's like, yeah, because you were so focused on the brown. And then he reversed it. And that's the same thing. If we focus on things that are positive, we're going to see them as opportunities. If we focus on negative, we're going to see them as, you know, barricades, barriers, you know, hurdles that we have to jump. So I think this, that positive mindset is so important for us, you know?
Yeah. But it's a practice. It's mm-hmm. not an inherent trait. By no means was I born with the ability to just like let go of tough moments. Like I, you know, struggled just like any other kid.
Yeah.
Didn't make the baseball team, didn't do this, didn't, you know, like I struggled with all that stuff, but I don't know. As I got older, I think I just always suspected that, can it get any worse? That kind of thing. Like you feel like if I've been able to get through this, like what else is possible?
Well, you also said you journal, and that's one of those things subconsciously, like how many years you've been journaling, you know, it didn't happen day one journaling, but maybe over weeks and months and years, that inception of like, wait a minute, I'm jotting my thoughts. Okay. Maybe this is not as bad as it is. Or you reflect, like, I think that's so important for people to do those self therapies, if you will. Go talk to someone too. I think that's so important, but do self-therapy, meditation, journal, cold plunges, whatever you got to do. Everyone's going to do it different, but just get yourself in a frame of mind where it's going to get you to think and expand yourself. That's where, if we're sitting in the shit that we're always doing, we're never going to grow.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. All of those practices, to be super transparent, I've been doing them since the divorce and things like that started to go south. I threw myself into spirituality and personal mm-hmm. development work and working with coaches and therapists and all sorts of stuff. 3 months ago, when I figured out that I wanted to build passive profits, the passion I have for as a business owner, but also solving the problem that I'm solving right now, all of those habits they groomed me to be ready for this moment, but they also became, I needed them less. Now they're things that like I do a couple of them that I enjoy and I know that they're productive and generative, but I was kind of like dependent on my meditation, my mm-hmm. cold showers, you know, like all the things that I needed to do. I was taking like 2 hours just to start my day so I could be in the right mindset. There's a spectrum to habits too. And I think like the solution for me, which may not be for everybody, but as like a business owner and a creator, solving something and feeling really passionate about like bringing a thing out into the world for me is the best form of therapy I could give myself.
Mm, I love that, man. Jay, this has been a lot of fun. I had notes on here to talk about lead magnets and landing pages. We're not going to get to that today, but if folks want to check that out, because I do like your newsletter, I was checking that out. A lot of good tactical stuff in there, which I like, which I think is so relevant for people. Where can they check that out? Where are you spending the water holes? Is it LinkedIn pretty much or Twitter? Where are you spending time?
Yeah, I talk a lot about the topics around like online courses and lead magnets and all those things, like things that you could start, flywheels that you could build for your business. I talk about them on LinkedIn. And I also have my newsletter, which is, I should probably get a .com at some point, but it's yourpassiveprofits.co.
Okay, perfect. Any final words of wisdom, thoughts, insights, quotes, anything you want to share? Maybe it's an ask of the audience before we leave.
No, you know what? We've been talking a lot about like leaning into new things. There's a great quote that I love from Austin Kleon. In order to be the noun, first do the verb. And I think we lose sight of that. Like we want to be the entrepreneur, but we're not willing to like learn the new skills and be uncomfortable and build relationships and give value when there's no ROI in near sight. So all those things of starting something new require you to like sacrifice a little bit and just kind of be willing to go down rabbit holes.
I like that. All right. That's a good place to end on. I really enjoy that quote. Thanks for jumping on here, man. This is a lot of fun. Enjoy the winding road we went down, but I appreciate you sticking with it.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Good conversation.
Hey everyone, and just one more quick thing before you head off on your day. If you're enjoying this podcast and are looking for other resources and tools to help you get started and move forward toward a happier and more fulfilling life, then I'd encourage you to head over to my website, brianandraco.com, and hit the subscribe button in the upper right corner. There you can find my newsletter and blog subscriptions, where I share insights and information around getting unstuck, perspective, mindset, relationships, habits, and much more. If you get a chance to sign up, I hope you enjoy. Thanks again for listening in, and have a phenomenal day.